Happy New Year, everyone. This is Kim C, and you're listening to the Year of Underrated Stephen King. This is a literary podcast that covers the unexplored, overlooked, underappreciated Stephen King titles to the best of our ability. Hello, lovely listeners. Welcome to the end of 2021 and our last podcast episode of the year. It is a glorious time. It's my favorite holiday of them all. New Year's is my absolute favorite, and I'm thrilled to be with all of you guys today. This is a global holiday. There are sparkles involved, as well as delicious beverages and treats, and hopefully, at least I try myself to plug into some deep introspection, self-reflection, and hope for the new year, a new chance, a fresh start, blank slate. All the metaphors. So I hope you all are having a lovely post-holiday week or holiday week, and that perhaps you guys have some New Year's plans in the works wherever you are in the world. If there are no parties to attend and you're hunkering down for a quiet night in, I do hope you have the proper treats nearby and a significant other or a fur baby in your immediate proximity, but I highly recommend you have something sparkling in your glass. It's a must. It's essential. Either sparkling cider, if it's non-alcoholic, Prosecco, champagne, cava, bubbles are required tonight, folks. We must celebrate being alive. We must imbibe the effervescence. The little bubbles are tiny little balls of hope for the future. So I hope you get some savory snacks, some chocolate, and some essential bubbles, and say farewell to 2021 in a safe and lovely way. But before we head that way, before I pop my own bottle in celebration of this final episode of 2021, let's reflect on the year that was. This little podcast tackled a good chunk of King. I'm pretty proud of us. We watched a lot of Stephen King television. We made quite a few new friends with some constant reader interviews. And we read 7 Stephen King novels for the very first time and 1 short story collection. So this year, I'm really proud of us. I think we did pretty good. Let's refresh everybody on the titles we accomplished. So for Stephen King television, we watched and reported on 7 episodes of 2021's Apple TV Lacey's Story, as well as the first and last episode of 2020's The Stand. I was really torn about episode by episode coverage. There was already a ton of folks commenting on that, and I didn't feel qualified, as I have not to this day finished the Stand novel. I stopped at around 600 pages to my total confusion. I don't know what happened there, but on top of that, I wasn't a huge fan of the Stand miniseries. I don't have too many nice things to say about it, but I did give my thoughts on the first episode and the last. It was overall disappointing for my heart and unappealing in many ways. But our last foray into Stephen King television was season 3 of 2019's Mr. Mercedes. It had fell off my radar a little bit, so I was happy to have completed it and shared some thoughts. I do hope you guys get some free time to plug in with some of those if you haven't yet and jump back to the corresponding episodes, especially Lacey's Story. I think I was really into that one. Those are kind of fun. And now, here are the titles we accomplished here on the podcast in the year 2021. Number 1, 1982's The Gunslinger. That was our first title of the year and my first time ever reading it. My first steps toward the Dark Tower. Number 2, 1987's Misery. I still have the scars. The scars on my heart and on my soul. Oh gosh, that was a wild one, folks. Number 3, 1987's The Tommyknockers. That one was a labor of love. entirely glad I read it. No regrets, but there's a lot of polarization in that one, but very, very happy I read it. Number four, 2021's Later. Oh, loved. Just all the heart emojis next to that one. Number five, 1987's Drawing of the Three. I think the expression, I think I said this in the actual episode of Drawing of the Three. Now we're cooking with gas, Mr. King. Yes, 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 we are. That was so much fun. Number six, 1996's The Green Mile. And I think you're hearing the blade being sharpened, the blade that filleted my heart open, because that's what The Green Mile did. So extraordinary and wonderful, every single word of it. Number seven, 1991's The Wastelands. So fun, just a wild ride, the wildest ride. And our eighth title of the year was 2015's short story collection, a personal favorite, The Bazaar of Bad Dreams. So excluding The Bazaar of Bad Dreams, all the titles mentioned were first-time reads, never read them before, so it was quite a treat to check them off my constant reader checklist. I believe, now having finished The Wastelands, I might be at 39 or 40. I think we might hit the big 4-0, which is huge. So this year, if you guys were hanging out at all on the podcast, you know my love for the oddball, strange little wonderland known as Lisi's Story really bloomed to full capacity. I had a lot of preparation for the show, as well as actual episode-by-episode coverage. That was a good chunk of our year that was looking, exploring, lifting up all the rocks in Booyah Moon to take a look at the adaptation, the performances. Overall, I was incredibly impressed by it. Beautifully rendered. Lots of good things to say about the episodes for sure. We're going to talk more about that in a little bit. But kind of like what we did with last year's recap, the Best of Underrated King 2020, we are going to hand out some awards today. So not only are we going to reflect on the titles we explored, the short stories, the moments, we're going to hand out some awards to some categories that I think are a ton of fun. So let us now segue into the categories for this year's awards. I stole a few from the previous year, and then we've added a few new ones. So I believe last year we had 9. This year we're gonna dive in with 10. We've had too many 9s, lots of 9s everywhere, which if you're in numerology, I believe it. There's a reason for all the 9s for sure. But this year, we're going to hand out the Best of Underrated King 2021 under 10 categories. Number 1, Best Hero. Number 2, Best Leading Lady. Number 3, Best Sidekick. Number 4, Best or Worst, rather, the worst villain. Like, who really got my goat the worst this year? So, I guess that is best villain. Number 5, the character who left me wanting more. Number 6, best fight scene or action sequence. Number 7, best romance. Number 8, best miniseries. And number 9, best short story of the year. Concluding with our 10th category, best novel of the year. So those are our 10 award categories that we're going to be exploring in greater detail in the next section, and we're going to discuss the nominees for each of those 10. And you guys know me, I always have a hard time singling out just one, so there might definitely be some there may definitely be some honorable mentions that jumped in there last second. So once more, this is only looking at the year that was. This is only 2021 stuff. So of course there are many awards to hand out in the world of King, but this year we are ranking and exploring what we accomplished in 2021. So to segue into our next adventure, this year we had 7 King novels, 1 short story collection, 3 Stephen King miniseries, 4 constant reader interviews, and a Partridge in a Pear Tree. I couldn't resist. It's still Christmas a little bit, at least in my heart. All right, lovely listeners. So once more, I hope to not spoil any of these titles for anybody. However, tread carefully. Oftentimes I get ahead of myself. I might leak some plot detailings. Highly recommend that these be titles you have recently read or read in the past, and you feel pretty comfortable with the endings and certain plot arcs, character outcomes. Also, if you haven't watched some of the miniseries, I'll definitely do my best to tread carefully, but definitely tiptoe into this episode because I would hate to spoil anything for anybody, including television. That one's a tricky one indeed. So I will see you guys in the next section where we will hand out some awards. Folks, for these upcoming awards to honor our podcast coverage for the year 2021, I wanted to put it out there that some of these nominees may overlap a little bit. We're going to have novel folks right next to TV folks, but of course, at the end of the day, all characters come from the exact same place. They all come from the novels, from the stories, from King's own mind and hand. But as we go through this award ceremony, we have a very unique assortment for sure. So let's get started. To kick off our first category for Best Hero, we have the following 5 nominees. Our first is the gunslinger himself, Roland Deschain of Gilead. Second, we have John Coffey, Like the Drink, Only Spelled Different. Love that man. Number 3, we have Ray Gardner from The Tommyknockers. Complex, but indeed a hero at the end. Number 4, Paul Sheldon from Misery. Oh, poor Paul. Last, we have Jamie Conklin. He is our very brave protagonist and narrator at the heart of 2021's hard case crime title, Later. And of course, this being a Kim C production, you know you're bound to have honorable mentions, and we definitely have a few. We do have an honorable mention for Best Hero, and that is the E-Block Squad from The Green Mile. This comprises Paul Edgecombe, Harry Terwilliger, Dean Stanton, and Brutal Howell. Those gents were class acts. They did a lot of great things to help John Coffey. I love them all. They're all heroes. That is my honorable mention. And the winner, ladies and gentlemen, for Best Hero 2021 is Roland Deschain of Gilead. Roland of The Gunslinger, Drawing of the Three, and The Wastelands. My guy Roland, oh dear folks, he went through a lot this year. Granted, we have a lot of source material to pull from, but he aged 10 years in a night. He got limbs eaten off by lobster monsters. He got feverish infections. He was in gun battles, portal hopping. He was making friends, teaching people. Granted, once more, we have 3 novels we are referring to, but he is definitely my hero of 2021. He's the guy I kept thinking about all year. And looked forward to spending time with him. So for this year, despite our heavyweights of nominees, Roland is 2021's best hero. Award number two, Best Leading Lady. So kicking us off with nominations is, of course, my homegirl Lacey Landon, Booyah Moon Explorer, Catatonic Sister Wrangler, and she is the steel, as in made of steel, pillar behind her damaged husband, Scott Landon. Next, we have Bobby Anderson, who is one of our main characters in the Tommyknockers. She's a progressive, interesting gal who held my attention throughout the bumpy course of 1987's The Tommyknockers. Next, we have triplicate goddess du jour within the Odetta, Detta, Susanna trifecta that comprises Susanna Dean. So this next one, guys, is a bit of a wild card, but I really like this lady. I can't wait to open up this book again to spend more time with this character. I have a lot of empathy for her. She makes me curious. I got some thoughts, I got some feelings for Nadine Cross, played by Amber Heard in the 2020 Stand miniseries. She really struck a chord with me this year. I know that Amber Heard kind of got a lot of flack for her performance. I disagree with it. I think it was fine. But looking at the character of Nadine Cross in general, I think there's a lot more there to explore than her being just a minion of Randall Flagg. So I know that's kind of a random one, but not as random as this one. So my last nomination for Best Leading Lady is a strange one also, but we're gonna go with it. For the Best Leading Lady category, I went to the Muse, albeit the forced and maddening Muse from Misery, and that is the character of Misery Chastain. So Misery Chastain is the fictional protagonist out of the mind of Paul Sheldon. She is the source of his damnation and his liberation in a really effed up poetic way. I love it. I love what Misery Chastain represents in that book. So cool, so good. And, ladies and gentlemen, the award for Best Leading Lady 2021 goes to, I think you guys know I would never leave my gal Lacey Landon hanging. She's too cool. Of course it's Lacey Landon. I naturally have big places in my heart for all the aforementioned nominees, but I just adore Lacey this year. I loved how Julianne Moore portrayed her in this year's Apple TV miniseries, and there's so many good things to say, guys. So Lacey, on paper, is not someone who should excite or enthrall the reader at all, as she's just this middle-aged widower with sister drama. She's got a lot of money and even more time on her hands, but when push comes to shove, this lady comes to life, guys, in all caps, in a very exciting way. She travels between worlds, she's really brave, she saves a lot of people in more ways than she realizes. And if my man Roland wasn't such an epic presence this year, I think Lacey would have been my winner for best hero. She is quite beloved to my heart, and that book, Lacey's story, as insane as it is, it's definitely made its mark on my King journey. I enjoy the complexity so, so much. So for the Best of Underrated King 2021, Lacey Landon is my favorite leading lady. Onward to our third nomination category of Best Sidekick. So for this category, as I was picking my nominees, I realized they were mostly animals. So I wanted to represent the animals. And I know it's, we're just going to start there. And this is a weird one, guys. So let's just say we're going to list the animals first, and then we'll plug in whoever makes it. So our first nominee for best sidekick is P. Peter Anderson, who I believe is the trusty 17-year-old beagle belonging to Bobby Anderson in the Tommyknockers. Peter the dog becomes most definitely much more of a yikesy kind of character later on in the story. He definitely brings the head shaking. He is the one who first discovers the alien craft while on a walk with Bobby in the woods, and he's the first to undergo some changes. That's all I'll say there. He is our catalyst for action, but a loving, devoted, great sidekick as well. Next, we have his small, saintly self, and that is Mr. Jingles from E-Block, The Cell of Edouard Delacroix, and the novel The Green Mile. Mr. Jingles is a star. There's no other way to put it. He even has his own, I believe it's book two, The Mouse on the Mile, is absolutely, he is just in the spotlight to such a degree. He's incredibly special, very meaningful, and so rich, symbolic, and deeply meaningful. I love that little mouse so much. I love Mr. Jingles the mouse from The Green Mile. Our third nominee is the one-of-a-kind Billy Bumbler named Oi, who quickly becomes a part of the quartet in The Wastelands, as well as Jake Chambers' best buddy. He is totally precious. He's this wild little guy who knows how to speak, and he just kind of follows the group around and proves himself very useful, looking out for Jake, taking care of him. He's a gem. Oi, the Billy Bumbler. So, I know it's a little bit unfair to have three animals and one dude, but I think that's how the cookie's gonna crumble today, folks. So let's just forgive this category and just let it be radical acceptance. Our fourth and final nominee, and this is of course not saying no nominee in this category is greater or less. They all wear diamonds in my eyes, but the final nominee for Best Sidekick is New York's finest. I think he's 22 now, 22, 23. That's Mr. Eddie Dean, who has, by the third novel of The Dark Tower, or the third story of The Wastelands, he has become quite a good shot. He has matured quite a bit. All the heroin's out of his system. He is a committed and loving partner to a very complicated woman, and he is definitely on the right hand of Roland, and so I really, really enjoyed him as a sidekick this year. So although I love all of these nominees so, so much, and I would definitely give them all the Best Sidekick Award, having to pick one winner, I gotta go with Mr. Jingles, guys. I just gotta go with him. He is just so powerful. He's just so symbolic. Oh my gosh, what he represents for other characters, for me, and for his presence in the story, he is my winner for Best Sidekick. Like I mentioned, I adore everybody that I just previously mentioned so, so much. They are all at the table of greatness in my heart, but Mr. Jingles, the smallest of them all, wins the award. So our fourth category is the best/worst villain. Who was the best villain for 2021? The nominees are that cock-a-doodie Colorado forest dweller that is the unsinkable Annie Wilkes. Bone-chilling, unforgettable, she will haunt me forever. Second, we have the serial bomber who terrorizes the New York City area in this life and the next, and that's Kenneth Terrio from 2021's hard case crime title, Later. So really hot off the presses, but he is quite sinister. Third nomination for Worst Villain will have us take a slight sidestep and jump to 2015's The Bizarre Bad Dreams collection. The initial story that kicks off the collection is Mile 81, and we have a very freaky, spooky, creepy station wagon, an actual vehicle who has a very high body count. So for best villain, the car from Mile 81. I think it is most definitely a cousin of Christine. Christine is a title I haven't read yet, but I really want to. So number four, our fourth nominee for best villain, we have Jack Mort, who is the Pusher. He's the Pusher card from Drawing of the Three. This guy is a sadistic serial killer who causes a lot of grief all over New York City. Gross and no thank you. Number five, of course, goes to 2021's Lisi Story Horror Show, who goes by the name of Jim Dooley. He is an obsessed Scott Landon fan who channels all kinds of psychopathic, obsessive, frighteningly unhinged characteristics. He was masterfully portrayed by actor Dane DeHaan in the 2021 Apple TV series this year. I loved it. He totally brought him to life in a terrible way, but yeah, that episode 4, folks, that is one I can't unsee or unhear. Super creepy. And now, dear folks, we do have some honorable mentions. This is a huge category. So my first honorable mention goes once more to Lisi's story. We got to head through space and time, through perhaps a puddle or the pool, to get to Booyah Moon and visit the Long Boy. He is a very unique monster, and that's all I will say. He's a creature really manifested from every nightmare anybody could ever have. It's macabre, grotesque, intriguing. He is all of those things, and he's kind of great. He's one of those Stephen King creatures that is in the shadows enough to bring out your worst nightmares. Our second honorable mention is, of course, another wonderful performance by an actor this year. That actor is Owen Teague, portraying Harold Lauder from The Stand. From what I did observe from The Stand, my 600-page sojourn many years ago, Harold is a great character, tremendous villain, but overall very, very complex, which is what you want when creating a lasting, impacting character, and especially a villain. That was kind of fiction 101. You can't make your villains too awful. I mean, you can, but if you want to make them last, if you want to make them infamous, you got to sprinkle a little bit of something extra in there. You have to have a little bit of goodness, just a skosh, to give people the benefit of the doubt. So, Harold Lauder, the winner for worst villain, goes to, why, of course, it's Annie Wilkes, guys. Of course it is. My gosh, yes. Of all the horror shows we had this year, none compares to the beast of the Sidewinder Forest, the one who will chop your foot off with an axe and blowtorch the wound closed. That happened. I lived through it. We've all lived through it. She is haunting and unforgettable. And although both she and the Misery novel aren't an underrated King pick, they're most assuredly a necessary King read that made its mark on me for sure. I am so tremendously glad I've survived it. It's not that I read it this year. I survived Misery, guys, really and truly. So I am still thinking about visceral scenes from Misery in which Annie Wilkes was in front of Paul's face. I cannot get her out of my mind. Therefore, due to the fact that she's just lingering, haunting, she is my worst villain for 2021. Our number five, or rather our fifth category, is the character who left me wanting more. I borrowed this category from last year's episode, our end of year coverage, and I was talking about Dale Barbara, or Dale Barbie from Under the Dome. I had a list of characters who I felt there just needed to be more there, and I feel this is a really good category to kind of look back at maybe the characters in the background who aren't the protagonist or the main villain or the leading lady, and kind of really think about the stories and ask yourself, who did we just need more time with? Who needed more page or more time on the page? Who needed to bring more out to the reader. So I really like this category quite a bit. I feel that we do have a few that should have hung around longer. They definitely needed more narrative presence. We just needed more. So our first nominee is Jack Mort, the pusher from Drawing of the Three. He is, oh my gosh, yes, he's at the very top of this list. I just needed more than the sinister stuff for him. Number two is Tia Conklin. She is the mother of Jamie Conklin in 2021's Hard Case Crime Later. She's very cool. She's a literary agent. She's a mom. And that's about all we get. That's kind of all we get. We get a little bit of extra. She has a dalliance with some illegal things. But overall, more time with her. She's somebody who I definitely wish we could have had like a little bit of a juice extractor for Tia Conklin. Next, we have Bobby Anderson from the Tommyknockers. Oh my gosh, guys, if you jump back to my Tommyknockers coverage, I love the hell out of this lady. She is so cool. She is so progressive, intriguing. And the stuff we get with her, I loved. And yet, Ray Gardner comes in, and although he's a decent person on the page, he's drunk half the time, which, you know, speaks volumes of what the 1987 Tommyknockers book is really kind of about, what it represents. But Bobby was wonderful, and I really want more of her before the Tommyknockers kind of got in there and mutated her. We get too much Ray Gardner, not enough Bobby Anderson, and I really, really wanted more of her. So lastly, I know this is a tired old hat, this is a dead horse, this is a cracked open chestnut, there's nothing left to say, but I'm going to say it anyway, only because we had the reminder from this year's TV series. Our last nominee is Scott Landon for Wanting More. I wanted more in the show and I wanted more in the book. I just needed more on his exit from the story. I need resolution. I need absolution. I need closure. I know that Scott Landon is a tragic character, and as a tragic character, he's supposed to be a symbol for that inexplicable terror pit of life, but I am just stubbornly kicking that dead horse. I want to know why Scott Landon exited the novel the way he did, why there was no way to prevent any of that from happening. My heart isn't satisfied. Overall, my New Year's resolution is that I need to let it go, folks. I need to let it go. I just gotta let some things be. But I think the stellar performance from Clive Owen this year, from Apple TV's Lacey Story, it was stellar. It was just fantastic. He kind of drummed up some stuff for me. His performance and the way the novel was interpreted for the screen kind of brought back all of that yearning and all of that desire for more. So, yeah, I'm still bugging people about it. I'm still going down that road asking for more on Scott Landon. The winner of the category, the character who left me wanting more, is, out of all of them, Jack Mort. Yes, dear folks, I think he had a lot more runway to reveal himself as someone layered and more complex, aside from somebody just completely, quite immediately irredeemable, guys. He just, yeah, there's nothing there, and we really should have had more, especially because in Drawing of the Three, the second Dark Tower iteration, he's got his own door on the beach. So the Drawing of the Three, there are three doors. He's one of the doors. Like, that means something, folks. And so we've got Eddie, super layered character. We've got Suzanne, well, we've got Odetta, super duper duper layered character, like to the 10th power. And then we have Jack Mort, and it's really like King ran out of gas, very much so. And oh, how sad, because we could have really had a lot more to do with Jack Mort. More complexity, more backstory, you know, somebody doesn't just become a sadist overnight. I mean, they gotta kind of grow into it a little bit. We just don't have enough of that. And he's so forgettable. And it's like, you were a third door, dude. You were a door on the beach. You were a thing. So, more of Jack Mort. He definitely left me wanting more. All right, guys, we have handed out 5 awards, the first 5 of the Best of Underrated Stephen King 2021. Let us recap those first 5. For Best Hero, we've got my man, Roland Deschaine. My favorite leading lady of 2021 is the wonderful Lacey Landon. My favorite sidekick is Mr. Jingles the Mouse from The Green Mile, from E-Block specifically. My favorite villain is the unforgettable, unkillable Annie Wilkes from Misery. And lastly, the character who left me wanting more was Jack Mort from Drawing of the 3. All right, dear ones, let us take a wee break and head into the next section where I will present the final 5 awards for Best of Underrated King 2021. I'll see you there. Alright everyone, let us continue on with the next 5 awards we're going to hand out. Our 6th category is Best Action Sequence or Fight Scene. So the first one we're going to mention is very recent on the mind, and that is within The Wastelands. The scene toward the very end where we have, oh my god, an explosive altercation with the TikTok man and a gang of greys, if I'm remembering correctly. Oh my gosh, we have people getting strangled, gunfire, of course, knives, blood, dirt, machines, wild, explosive, nuts. The next fight scene of mention is within the hard case crime title Later, the Marsden House. Oh my gosh, guys, in this scene we've got drugs, guns, dead bodies, not so dead bodies, and a staircase where it all goes down. Oh my gosh. Our third nominee, Annie versus Paul, at the novel conclusion party within Misery. Holy hell, this fight is everything you want in a to-the-death match. When these two finally crash into each other, it is as epic as you can imagine. Number 4 is Escape from Balthazar's Place from Drawing of the 3. We've got Little Italy meets Wild West with decapitations, nudity, bullets, drugs, mafia. Insane, guys. Pure insanity. Oh my gosh. So the winner, despite all of those powerhouse scenes that I absolutely loved, is, of course, without a doubt, Annie Wilkes versus Paul Sheldon. It is the best of the year, mostly because of where the reader is, where I was when this scene occurs. When I was the reader and I got to this zone, this final battle, I'm emotionally wrecked beyond repair. And if thankfully, you know, I was paying attention, I was closely observing the text, and it's so masterfully rendered, it's so beautifully written, that in this final altercation, it all comes full circle with the broken champagne bottle, and the champagne is what started the story off, what started the spiral of doom from the very beginning. It all comes back around, and oh my gosh, before, during, and after, I was completely exasperated. It is a glorious fight scene, and mad props to Mr. King, because in fiction writing, action sequences are quite challenging to write. They seem like they would be simple, but they're actually not. So this was is just amazing. So that is the winner for best fight scene / action sequence. Our seventh award goes to the best King romance of 2021. So within our nominees, we have the classic longtime lovers of Lisey and Scott Landon. Like a fine wine, King shows us that longtime marriage is a tremendous adventure and a mysterious undertaking, and I love that we get to be a part of it with Lisey and Scott Landon. So next are a pair of newish lovers in the form of Susanna and Eddie Dean. I am all about what's going to happen to them next. They won me over in this latest iteration of the Dark Tower. I wasn't sure that not seeing them fall in love in the second story was going to be a detriment to their romantic believability, but nay, folks. I'm excited for them. I really like them as a couple. Our third nominee for the progressives out there looking for all play and no strings, look to student, teacher, friend thing arrangement, that is Bobby Anderson and Ray Gardner from the Tommyknockers. Fascinating, folks. Absolutely. Just for 1987, I'm all about it. I don't know if categorically, traditionally, they would make the cut for best romance in quotes, but it works. I'm throwing it in there. It's a bond. It's an interesting dynamic, very progressive. Kept me intrigued. Boy, did it. I liked hearing about it. I was there for it. Yeah, very progressive. our next nominee, let's jump back to the 2020 Stand miniseries, observing Stu Redman and Franny Goldsmith, portrayed by James Marsden and Odessa Young. They looked so nice together. I liked them a lot. Both of those actors did a wonderful job in each of the roles, and they really made me want to, I mean, a lot of characters did, specifically Nadine Cross and Nick Andros. They really, really made me want to pick up my copy of The Stand and dive in on an epic reread, but Stu and Franny, that definitely makes my heart happy observing the two of them. There's a lot there, man. I mean, Franny's got a baby that Stu is not the father of, but it's the end of the world. There's a lot of stuff, and I really like them as a couple. Our last nominee in Mr. Mercedes Season 3, we have a cutesy little blossoming between Holly Gibney, played by Justine Loop, and lawyer Roland Finkelstein, played by Brett Gelman. So I don't think this exists in the books at all, but for the television adaptation, we're just gonna go with it because I thought it was cute. I liked it. I don't know if Finkelstein is even real at all, but anytime Holly gets some romance toward in her arena, I'm all about it. If you jump to 2019's The Outsider on HBO, tremendous. We've got some little sprinklings that were quite meaningful, and I really enjoyed that for Holly's character. But specifically regarding Mr. Mercedes Season 3, the blossoming romance between Finkelstein and Holly definitely kept me interested. The winner for Best Romance for Underrated King 2021 is, I think you guys already know if you know me by now, but it's Lisey and Scott Landon all the way. Of course, this is a hard decision because I love the other one so, so much. And I'm a huge romance fan. I really am. That's kind of where I cut my teeth in fiction. I was way too precocious of a youth. I definitely should not have been reading those books at the age that I was, but here we are. So, It taught me a lot, though. It taught me a lot about what it takes for a genuine romance to work on the page, and it's definitely assisted my fiction and instructing fiction over the years. But I love romance, especially in a King work, because, as most of us know who are fans of King, when there is romance, it's already in danger just for existing. But this one, between Scott and Lisi, via the show, specifically the performances of Julianne Moore and Clive Owen, it made me cry, guys. I cried. I believed in them as a couple, in the power of this marriage and their bond and all of its complexities and problems and dramas and potholes, and yet at the end of it all, it's completely worth it. And someday I'd like to marry the person I'm with and have a good long run into old age. And it's nice to have that represented from your favorite author, to see the heart of it as something to aspire to. It was incredibly touching. It echoed in my heart. Lisi and Scott Landon, forever. All right, everybody. Award number 8. Let's give this out to the best Stephen King miniseries that we watched this year. Our 3 contenders are Mr. Mercedes Season 3, now streaming on Peacock, of which there are 10 episodes. I believe 10 episodes per season. Next, we have Lisi's Story, directed by Pablo Larraine, streaming on Apple TV, of which there are 8 episodes. I think I misspoke earlier and said that there were 7. There was indeed 8. So, yeah, 8 episodes. And then the last, our 3rd nominee, is The Stand miniseries that came out in 2020. It is now streaming on the Paramount Network, I believe, of which there are 9 episodes. So the winner is, by a landslide, dear folks, it's Lisi's Story. It just is. It was beautifully filmed, great cast, great everything. And regarding this one, King penned the teleplay, and we know from the glory that is The Storm of the Century, 1999 Storm of the Century, that premiered on ABC way back in the day, how good it can all be when King pens the teleplay. So, oh my gosh. Unfortunately, Mr. Mercedes Season 3 and The Stand disappointed me quite a bit. However, regardless of them kind of failing to meet the mark / entertain me / bring anything good to my life, it's always nice to have a King television program to plug in with and discuss with people, and it's a great thing no matter what. So I'm definitely happy that we have them. However, despite the stellar casting in both shows, Mr. Mercedes and The Stand, the script, everybody, we gotta work on these scripts, we gotta make them tighter, and we have to learn that straying too far from the source material is the kiss of death. So give me a call, I'd love to help edit. Best miniseries of the year, by a landslide, Lisi's Story. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. And I also love the fact that it is made for fans of the novel. So if you have struggled with Lisi's Story, if you are of which I know there are a lot of people out there that will absolutely use that book for a paperweight rather than ever read it, it's worth it now that we have the show. I would say power through the novel and you will have a gorgeously well done miniseries to explain everything that you just read, or really bring it to life in a fresher way. In a richer way. It is made for readers of the novel, which is the best. So if it's any incentive to give Lisi's Story another shot, please do. And now you have an awesome show as an accompaniment to your reading. Do it, do it, do it. Our 9th award, of course, the best short story of the year. And since we only read 1 collection this year, it's going to be horrifically difficult to pick just 1 out of the 20 stories we read featured in The Bazaar of Bad Dreams, but I'm ready. So please jump back to my double episode of The Bazaar of Bad Dreams to hear me nerd out to that incredibly intriguing collection. Our first nominee is the story called A Death. This one is less than 10 pages, left me super breathless at the end, completely transporting. If you really want to feel pulled to the Old West in Nebraska in the dead of winter, do it. Totally worth it. My second nominee is for the story called Cookie Jar. So this has got a super kitschy, cutesy name, and you wouldn't think it would pack the punch that it does, but oh my god, you guys. As I've kind of mentioned previously on other episodes, this is the story I would make a Dollar Baby film out of. I would absolutely make a film out of this story. It's incredible. It's fantastical, yet we have World War II, we have brothers, aging, magic. Amazing, you guys. Amazing! Please seek out a copy of The Bazaar of Bad Dreams to, I believe it's in the paperback. You can, of course, always find the individual story floating somewhere in the clutches of the internet, but I believe the paperback version of The Bazaar of Bad Dreams has it ready for you. And the audiobook. Do it, do it, do it. Our third nominee for Best Short Story is Herman Woke Is Still Alive. This one has me completely speechless. It is very tragic, very dark, but the way it's written absolutely grabbed me by the throat. This story, without revealing a lot, is about a collision, but King writes this story like a collision, which blows my mind. We have two separate concepts, two completely different worlds crashing into each other in an incredible way. It's masterful. It's, Okay. Fourth nominee is a little ditty. I also believe this is a less than 10 pager called The Dune. Spooky, creepy, punchy, totally awesome. Reminds me of my beloved and treasured Duma Key. Oh my gosh, love it. It's all about mood, a slow burn, and a super punchy ending that'll keep you thinking. Our fifth nominee is Bad Little Kid. This is hauntingly good. This is a thicker story, I believe, a 25 plus pager. Disturbing, deep. This one has that dark hand of fate and doom lingering throughout the reader. It is excellent. Definitely keeps you thinking at the end. Loved it. Love Bad Little Kid. So this completely stinks, because for those of you who know a little about Kim C, you know how much I adore Stephen King short stories more than I could ever articulate with the human language. Because technically, for me, I just listed 5 gold medals for you guys. I just listed 5 winners. So, but if there's a figurative gun to my head, I would definitely award the best short story of the year to Herman Woke Is Still Alive. Oh, wow. Sad, impressive, and it lingers. It just lingers, folks. It's, I believe in the author foreword, Steve King got the inspiration from a real-life current event that just shook him up, shocked him, and he wanted to kind of explain how these things happen, like what goes on behind the scenes of these horrifically tragic events that we read about every single day of our lives. But yet there's more, and he adds more to it to make it richer and deeper and just, oh my god, I'm such a fan, guys. So this one is pure dark beauty. It's intellectual without being too much, but it's also tragic, and there's a lot of feminine sadness surrounding this one. I love it. I love it. I love it. Please give it a read. My best of the year. And our last and final award to conclude our Best of Underrated King 2021 is, of course, the award for the best novel of the year. Let us recap our 7 nominees. Number 1, 1982's The Gunslinger. Number 2, 1987's Misery. Number 3, 1987's The Tommyknockers. Number 4, 2021's Later. Number 5, 1987's Drawing of the Three. Number 6, 1996's The Green Mile. Number 7, 1991's The Wastelands. The winner is... This, of course, is difficult, but it's gotta be 1,000% The Green Mile. Oh, folks, exploring this novel in the 6 digestible parts slayed me. Like, there's just no other way to express how powerful this novel was. Incredibly unique, the format in which it was composed. The story is layered, powerful, timeless, heart-crushing, soul-smattering. I adored every word. Oh my god, I did. I adore this novel. And if you jump back to my top 9 Stephen King novels, that episode, you will hear exactly where I had to rank it because I loved it so, so much. But if you have not read The Green Mile before, if you saw the movie a long time ago and you don't really want to read it because you've heard it's heavy and sad, you're not wrong, but I highly recommend reading it in the 6 parts. That way, any of the sort of overwhelming emotional stuff isn't super terrible, and you can kind of take a breather in between installments, and gives you an opportunity to examine the wonderful arrangement of this story, these tremendous characters, this premise, this unfolding magical realism, all of these symbols. Oh my god. It's the best. It's the best one. I loved every second of it. It's my favorite novel of the year. Although the other titles we read, what a joy. What a wonderful time I had, even with the Tommyknockers, which took me almost 2 months to read because I was cranky. I'm so glad I read it. I really am. I'm so glad I survived Misery, and I'm so glad I was able to get through 3 stories of the Dark Tower and learn more about Roland and this quartet. And of course, this super white hot little gem from Hard Case Crime that just blew my doors in with how nostalgic and this first person narration that is so full of melancholy. All the things I love just broke my heart in all the best ways. Loved the hell out of it. Totally made my summer amazing. All these books were phenomenal, tremendous, fantastic. All of the things, all the adjectives. But Green Mile, guys. Green Mile. We did it, everybody. Let's do a big recap of all 10 awards to lead us to our conclusion. Once more, best hero is Roland Deschain of Gilead, who followed the man in black across the desert. Next, we have our best leading lady, Lacey Landon of Lacey's Story. That's a lot of L's. Our best sidekick is precious Mr. Jingles, the mouse from the Green Mile. He just broke my heart in all the great ways. Our best / worst villain is Annie Wilkes from Misery. Nobody held a candle to her this year. Nope, nope. Our 5th award, the character who left me wanting more, is Jack Mort from Drawing of the Three. Our best fight scene is between Paul and Annie from the novel Misery. With that one, the pen is mightier than the sword has never been truer. Or in that case, the typewriter. You know if you know. Our best romance goes to Scott and Lacey Landon. Yes. Our best miniseries of the year goes to 2021's Apple TV's Lacey Story. 1,000%. I'm there for it. Our best short story of the year is From the Bazaar of Bad Dreams, Herman Woke is Still Alive. I believe it was originally published in the New Yorker, you might be able to find it there, but more accessible in 2015's The Bazaar of Bad Dreams. and best novel of the year is without a doubt our 6-part masterpiece, 1996's Masterwork, The Green Mile, where I cried and cried and cried and cried some more, and I can't wait to read it again. I just can't. So, my loves, we did it. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to this episode, but also listening to the podcast at any point throughout the year. We are a tiny little show, a little minnow in the big ocean, but we have a big heart full of love for all things King, all things regarding Stephen King fans and the tried and true old school constant readers, ride or die, or the new babies who have not yet been born to the majesty of Stephen King writing. We are here for all of you, and we hope to continue on this journey of exploring the unexplored King titles, the overlooked ones, the underappreciated. That's what we want to do as we head into the year 2022. So for next year, everybody, we plan to tackle Skeleton Crew. We're going to do Richard Bachman's Thinner, From a Buick 8, Wizard in Glass, of course, got to get back to Roland and the gang. We're going to do Needful Things. I've been wanting to do that one for a while, and I've kept saying that we're going to do it, but we're going to do it next year. I promise, promise, promise. We're going to do Billy Summers because I'm so excited. I got to find out what's up with Billy Summers, which is a 2021 release. We're going to tackle Four Past Midnight and perhaps Dreamcatcher to team up with Matt Hurt from Tower Junkies on some Alien King fun. We're going to do it. So those are just a few of the titles. But if you have a underappreciated, underrated, overlooked King title that you really, really want me to have in the spotlight and really want it on the list for next year, please write into the show at underratedsk@gmail.com for any recommendations, suggestions, thoughts on past episodes, or just to say hi. Just let me know your thoughts on the show, anything. Once more, we are going to go a little quiet by the second week of January, as I will be on holiday overseas. I'm going to have a little bit of a sojourn over on the Emerald Isle. We'll see if COVID allows me to. We'll definitely see. But we will be back with our first 2022 title very, very soon. Hopefully by the end of January, I'll be back with all of you. Hopefully with my King title complete, my notes ready, and the episode ready to go. But this is just my overflowing heart full of gratitude to all of you throughout the world who have listened to the show, who have shared it, who have given a 5-star on Apple Podcasts, written a review. We appreciate you so, so much. From the bottom of my heart, thank you, thank you, thank you for listening and making this a ton of fun to do and to put forth. So I hope I get to connect with more of you next year. So don't be a stranger. Please say hello. Thank you so much for listening. Take care of yourselves. Happy New Year. Be safe, be safe, be safe. I love you, and I'll see you in 2022. Bye-bye.